Good evening to you all again. Nice to see you.
Thank you for turning out on a very cold and blustery night. Coming over the bridge, we were going like this. So, yes, it is a cold one, but it's nice and warm in here, and it's good to see you. It's nice to be able to introduce you to my wife, Lorraine, who is here. Oh, good, there is some water. Splendid. Thank you. And for my next trick. And this evening we're going to look at that passage, at least part of it, but we're going to focus on verse 9 when we eventually get there. And if I do this, look at that. Wonderful. That's what we're looking at. God is faithful. Before we do that, but I can leave that up there, that's fine. I have been asked, Wycliffe Bible translators, yeah, okay, right, 30 years, yeah, fine. Africa, okay, now Sahara to Siberia, okie dokie. But what do you do? right, yes, well, there we go. Not what have I done, because that would take far more time than we've actually got to give. But what do I do? Well, in the last probably 15 to 20 years, most of my time has been spent in leadership roles. And when I say that, you start to see the glaze go over people's faces. Yes, that's the one. Just like that. And Lorraine and I have been trying to come up with an analogy that would help people understand something of what I do. You know, we're about Scripture and getting Scripture to people groups that don't have it. That's what we do as an organization. And there are many people on the ground doing that, living in some in very sensitive and very difficult places, others less so. The village that Lorraine and I lived in had 750,000 people in it. It's an interesting term, village, isn't it? But the best analogy we came up with was that I am like a conductor of an orchestra. So imagine an orchestra where you've got the woodwind and the strings and the brass and the percussion and the chorus. And each of those sections have a leader. I don't play anything. I don't sing. But I conduct and make sure that we all get to the end where we need to be. And my job is to make sure that those leaders know what is going on so as they can help their sections play the right thing and do the right stuff. And so we all arrive at the right place at the right time. That's the easiest way, really. So I'm a conductor. As for Lorraine, what do you do, my dear? No, that's unfair. Apart from keep me in order, and I will be much more sedate this evening because she's here and tells me off if I get... It's true. You don't believe that, do you? It's very true. She is a French to English translator. That is what she does in her day job. She's with Wycliffe as well. And there are lots of situations where things are produced in French and they need to be made available to the English part of the organization. And she is the one that does that. So that's who we are. That's what we do. But that's not what we're here for this evening. We are here to look at 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 to 9, to be honest. That's what we're going to look at. You know, Deuteronomy 7, verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands." And we could very easily have talked about that this evening, because the same elements of 1 Corinthians 1:9 are found in this verse, more or less. But that's not the one the Lord gave me. He gave me 1 Corinthians 1:9. So let's just read it again, and I'm going to give it to you in the 2011 NIV version. Now, I think we heard NIV, didn't we? Yes, the 1984 one. Yeah, there was a little blip in the NIV between 1984 and 2011. British understatement. We won't go there, but we will go to 2011. And in fact, because of time, I'm not going to read it all, because verses 4 to 8 are exactly the same. But in that last verse, if you have your Bibles open in front of you, and you look at verse 9, your Bible probably says, God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. Does it say that? Good. You have, which version do you have? Oh, New American Standard. No, we're not going to go there. The NIV 2011, I think, much better goes, well done. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It brings the is faithful from the end of the sentence and puts it where it belongs, right next to God. And I've never understood why the 1984 did what it did. And I am so glad that the 2011 got it right. So that's where we're going. Now, I hope I'm making no apology for teaching you some Greek this evening. You are all most capable, I have no doubt. And it does help us understand the richness of this section from verses 4 to 9. So let's just do a little bit of Greek study. So if you've got your Bibles open, we're going to start with verse 4. It's not all Greek. Did you get it all Greek? It's not all, no. Oh no, that's Dutch, isn't it? Right. In verse 4, the key word in verse 4, let's get rid of that. There we go. In verse 4, the key word is grace. I always want to thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. Grace, one of those great Christian words. Where would we be without it? It reminds us of God's free gift to men, and most especially of his free gift in Christ. And I'm certain most of you here, if not all of you here today, could explain to somebody exactly what this grace is. But don't worry, I'm not going to pick on one of you, because there was a definite look of concern there on some faces, apart from Gaius's perhaps. Right, so we're all on the same page. What is grace? Quick prece. God created mankind. Mankind pushed God away and still does. God knew mankind would self-destruct if they were not helped. Actually, even though he did help, they're still trying to self-destruct, but anyway. God put a plan in place to save mankind, and the problem was no part of mankind was pure and holy enough to deal with the problem. Do you remember this verse? Oh, that verse. Thank you. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene, so his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. God saw nobody else could deal with the situation. So he put out his own arm and dealt with it. How did he do that? He became a man, born of a virgin, fully God, fully man, and his name was Jesus. Exactly. This plan, this willingness of God to be with us in our humanity, to be obedient and to die on a cross, is what grace is all about. This grace that you've got in verse 4, I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the ultimate example of God's grace to us. Let's move on. Verse 5, that in every way you were enriched in him. Every and enriched speak of the quantity of his grace. It's just huge. And the verb, are you ready? Here's your Greek bit. The verb is passive and aorist. And because of that, it means that God is the author. God did it. Not us. We couldn't. That's why God stretched out his arm. And that's why there's in that Greek, there's a passive and an aorist verb. Because God made it happen. So we were enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. Now, I know many of you will know the word logos. You've heard it in other contexts. And that's the word that we're dealing with here in Greek. When we're talking about word, in all your speaking, in all your words, it's talking about utterances. It's talking about logos. And it includes, though, the thought as well as the expression. So it's not just babbling words. Doesn't serve anything. There has to be connection from here to here. All right? So you've not only got utterance, but you've got thought. So you are speaking with meaning. That's what's coming through when we talk about enriched in every way in your speaking, but also in your knowledge. Again, another Greek word which you possibly know called gnosis. If you know anything about that period, there's the people called the Gnostics. They were all dealing with knowledge, and it goes into loads of philosophical nonsense. Anyway, gnosis is the word for knowledge. And it means the power and ability to understand. So we have that. What we do with it is something else, but that's what we have. So they did not speak about things not worthwhile, but they had real knowledge. So these people who are speaking, who have been enriched, they're not babbling. It's got thought. The words come out that are of value. And it is built on real knowledge. Now, the thing is with the Greek word, it's less of an intellectual word, knowledge. If I say knowledge, you probably automatically think of something academic. You know, some lecturer or something standing out a big beard who leans on the stuff. Like, a bit like Gaius, really, isn't it? But it's not. It's not about necessarily research and thinking, though that's entwined in it, but it's about insight. I don't know about you, but the scriptures sometimes, I read this and I don't know what's going on. And yet other times I read it and it's like, boing, this light goes on. And you go, wow, God speaks straight into that situation, into that context. And you think, oh, that's insight. God gives it to us sometimes. So that's coming out of knowledge. So you have speech and you have knowledge and you've been enriched in it in every way. Now, verse 6, we've got our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you, says Paul. He's talking to the Corinthians, but it was confirmed. Now, the Greek word here, which you probably haven't heard of, is bebaio. No? It's not quite one of those common ones like logos and gnosis. But it means firm, confirm, verify, to prove true, to establish, to strengthen, to sustain. What a rich word. So Paul is saying, because we are in Christ, it's been confirmed in us. We can know the strength of God's work in us. That firmness and the changed lives of the Corinthians, and I trust of yourselves, demonstrates conclusively the validity of the message of the preacher. So what's coming through that word? The effects of the preaching, the teaching, the speaking were the guarantee of its truth. Preaching, growth. Preaching, new birth. But don't just think it's somebody standing up here preaching. The one-on-ones you have with your next door neighbour over the fence, not in this weather, but, you know, in the summertime. When you meet somebody in the shop and you're able to share some truth, those types of things. That's what this is talking about as well. And as they listen and they change, it confirms the truth of what you speak to them. Excuse me. Verse 7. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a fun one. Spiritual gift. You know what the word for that is? Charismatic. That's two sermons in one day you've had charismatic in. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble, aren't I? I better have a drink before he throws something at me. In Romans 6:23, Paul says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, gift, charismata of God is eternal life. Now, yeah, there's so much nonsense out there sometimes about charismatics. Let me warn you, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You cannot throw charismatics out. Listen to what I'm saying. Because charismatics includes eternal life. Do we want to throw eternal life out? No, of course we don't. Look at your Bibles. Read what it's talking about. Okay? Because here you have got the greatest charismata of all the apostle declares to be eternal life. I don't want to chuck out charismatics if I'm going to lose that. Here it is. In verse 8, he will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus. The word here is the same one that we had in verse 6, that one about confirming and verifying and strength, and that's here. He will strengthen you right up until the end, so you will be blameless. That's what's being promised to you. Yes, we have to do our part, but he will work with you and strengthen you. Which brings us to verse 9. For me, the nub of the little section we're looking at, even though there's so much richness in there. So here we come to faithful. Pistos. I am sorry about that, but that is the word. Trustworthy, faithful, dependable, inspiring faith or trust of God, as the one in whom we can have full confidence. God can be trusted. What's that passage that goes, and he will bring to completion, it sounds like Hebrews to me, bring to completion what he's already started? Sorry? Yeah, I knew it sounded like Hebrews. Philippians 1:6. That's the other thing as well with bringing your wife along. You are made to look completely stupid, which is fine. I'm quite used to it. After all these years, it really doesn't matter anymore. So Philippians 1:6. Would you like to read it out, Lorraine? That will teach you for picking on me in the service. Thank you. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to the day of completion. Okay? God is faithful to do that. God will do what he has promised and he will complete the work he's began. In the Greek, pistos comes before theos. Theos meaning God. So what it actually says is faithful God, not God is faithful. So actually, I'm going to argue with the NIV 2011 even. You love this, don't you? Because I think it is better, there is an even better translation which emphasizes, because in Greek you get emphasis by the way you put the words in order. So here we go, we have got faithful. God is faithful, who, I really should learn this one off by heart, shouldn't you? Who has called you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Faithful. God is faithful. How are we doing for time? We're doing all right. Examples of God's faithfulness in Scripture. This is the interactive bit. Just in case you were nodding off, I decided to put a bit in just to sort of keep us awake and alive. Give me some examples of God's faithfulness, please, in Scripture. The Exodus. The Exodus. Any particular part? Pull them out. Yep, absolutely. And he faithfully did. Yes, he did. Okay, any others? Yes. That's right. Even though he hadn't got a son at the time. Indeed. And he fulfilled that, didn't he? Yes, he did. Excellent. Thank you. Any more? Jesus, the promised Messiah. There's another one. Yes, very good. Cataclysmic flood, yes. We're all grateful that he's not going to do that again. I saw the film 2012 the other day for the first time. I thought, oh dear. Yes, no, they got that one wrong, but I'm glad. But then they got the Noah film was wrong as well, and so it goes on. We don't go to Hollywood for our scripture, do we? Excellent. Actually, I think you've picked up every single one of the ones I've got on my list. Well done, you. No, that's super. But it's true. You know, the faithfulness of God, it's there. It's a thread that's through Scripture. And here it is. It comes out very clearly. Faithful. God is faithful. Now, a number of questions for you this evening to take into the week. I hope you'll take them with you, asking the Lord to help you think through and perhaps answer some of them as the week progresses. Grace given. How have you seen God give his grace to you? Now, I don't know really any of you very well at all. Some I don't know at all, let alone a little bit. Now, not just the big things, the little things. How have you seen God's grace? How do you see God's grace at the moment? How have you been enriched in your speaking? You know, I mentioned about speaking over the garden fence and in the shop and post office and wherever else. We were at a church when we were at university, and there was somebody came to preach, and he talked about big T truth. What on earth is he talking about? But it's this. The word truth is just bandied around so easily nowadays, and yet there is truth with a capital T, truth that has value, truth that has power, truth that will cut into people's lives in such a way that they will be changed because it's coming from the Spirit. Big T truth. What opportunities may you have for Big T Truth? Have you been enriched in your knowledge? Have you had insight from spending time with Jesus, listening to him, and seeing the world from his perspective? I'm going to have a confession. I'll have a drink first, sir. I don't watch the news. That's my confession for this evening. I have a wife who does. And anything I really need to know, she will tell me. But I have got to the point where watching the news depresses me. There we go. There's others who have the same problem. There is so rarely a decent piece of good news that I just cannot, I'm just not willing to give it the time anymore. That doesn't make me better or worse. It just, that's what I do. And that doesn't mean you have to do it. I'm not saying that. But seeing the world from God's perspective rather than from even a BBC reporter's perspective. And they are some of the best in the world. With no offense to the Voice of America. Thank you very much. So think about that one as well. Enriched in your knowledge. Because testimony was confirmed. If you were given the opportunity right now, right this minute, without the rest of us listening, to talk to somebody who would listen. Hang on, how does that mean? To talk to somebody who would listen, could you? Right, who would listen? Could you explain to them how the testimony of the person who spoke to you has been confirmed in your life? So somebody shared the good news with you at some point, somewhere. Could you explain to somebody else how that person's testimony has been confirmed in you? You got that? Did you follow that? We've got too many people in that. Somebody shared with you, and you're going to share with somebody else, but you're going to tell them how what the originally shared person shared with you has been confirmed. The truth that is in you now through their ministry is being spoken out to somebody else. If you can't, maybe it's something you could sit down and write out and then revise it and then revise it again. Because you might only get 1 minute. 1 minute to talk to somebody. Actually, you can get an awful lot in 1 minute if you try very hard. Spiritual gifts lacking. What are yours? What are your spiritual gifts? Have you got the gift of eternal life? If you haven't, that's a serious one to be lacking. Trusting in Jesus for what he has done for us on the cross. Understanding what he has done. Realizing our need of his salvation. And keeping strong. Those points that we looked at earlier. What are you doing to work with God in keeping strong? Now, I could stand up here and do that sort of free evangelical Baptist thing where you are you having your quiet time? And I'm not. I'm not going to do that. Because even though for some people the concept of a quiet time is a great thing, it's not biblical per se. What is biblical is maintaining your relationship with God, maintaining your relationship with Jesus. Now, some people call that a quiet time. That's fine. Don't take me wrong, I'm not knocking quiet times. What I am saying is, if all you're doing is a ritual that causes no real development of relationship with God, then you might as well go and read Jane Austen, Tom Clancy, whomever. Because it's about relationship, it's about spending that time and listening to what God is saying through his word, speaking to him as he speaks to you, and you listen. God wants you to be strong. God wants to talk to you. God wants to hear what you're thinking about. Please don't tell the others that I said quiet times were bad. I didn't say that, honestly, I didn't. We had a guy come through the church who had a similar type of thing with Bible reading. And people thought he was saying, don't read the Bible. It can get very confusing if you're not careful. But it's not the case. I'm not saying quiet times are bad. What I'm saying is if they don't do what they're meant to be doing, then they're not worth the bother. Because actually we're dealing with relationship. And that's where we should be putting our efforts. So here we are. The ongoing grace of the Lord, the ongoing strengthening, the ongoing developing of gifts, the ongoing help of the Lord. And what's the overarching comment? It's up there on the screen. God is faithful. He is. He is faithful, who has called us into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So as we go out into this new week, I pray that you will take that resounding in your ears, knowing that he is in control and faithful. He is faithful. Amen.